25 years ago. Probably within the first hour or two after she was born. Her parents were a part of New Tribes Missions, and they were doing a jungle camp in Mississippi when Jane made an appearance. So that's how I was connected with them as a midwife, and I got to know her. And then through the years, I would get the support letters and up-to-date letters, and here's some of the ongoing. But I must confess, when she came to the door Friday night and knocked on the door, I wasn't prepared for this Jane. I was still thinking of a much younger Jane. So we've been talking a little bit since last night. So I'm going to let her tell her story. She's kind of based out of Oklahoma right now. Her parents are still in Thailand as missionaries, and she's based in Oklahoma. Her brother is living there, a married brother, and traveling to different friends and different churches in order to tell her story and her call from God, and also to raise support as she's also wanting to go into missions. And she told me she's kind of thinking Thailand is where God is pointing her. So I'll let her take it from here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Before she starts, let's pray a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you anoint her and give her the right words to speak and give us ears to hear. Just bless her and keep her knees from knocking. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, and I'll just continue that prayer, Lord. I just thank you so much that I'm able to be here this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you would encourage our hearts and bring us closer to you by what you would have me share this morning, and just that we'd be encouraged and challenged in the way that you would have us be. Amen. All right. I probably should have gone with the whole ear mic, but you know what? Juggling's a good skill, right? So like Mary said, I am a, missionary kid. I grew up in Thailand, and my parents are still working over there in Thailand, and I was going to share a little bit. Yeah, Mary met me right after I was born. She was supposed to be there when I was born, but I was in a hurry. I guess that's one of my good qualities? I don't know. But I just, before I wanted to share a little bit of my story, I wanted to share something that God's been teaching me, just from his word real quick. It's in 1 Chronicles, and it's 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And while I'm traveling and stuff, sometimes, you know, I get maybe an hour in the morning. Sometimes I don't quite get an hour in the morning. Sometimes it's like, oh, I have 5 minutes to read my Bible between this road trip and the next one. But I was reading in 1 Chronicles, and sometimes 1 Chronicles isn't the most encouraging book I've ever read, but it is God's word, and we know that there's good things in there for us to learn. So I was reading 1 Chronicles 28, and I came to verse 5, and I'm just going to highlight part of verse 5, and this part is just talking, King David is praising God for how God has made him king and how he's given him the kingdom and chosen him and all of these things. And he says, "Of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many, he's chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." And the kingdom of the Lord is what stuck out to me. And just how all of these things that David's been given, he's been given from the Lord, and they are the Lord's. He's been given possession of them, and yet they belong to God ultimately. And I was just reminded that, you know, all of our lives, my life, has been given to me by the Lord. And it's still, my life is the Lord's life. Like, he's given me that, and I'm a steward of it. And all of the different things that I have, I'm a steward of them. They're not really mine. And just, I was challenged to remember that I'm a steward of what God's given me. And then further down in verse 9, he tells Solomon to acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with a wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. And just, I wanted to acknowledge that God is my God, and that I do want to serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. And so those were things that stuck out to me when I was reading my the Bible that day, and I was just really encouraged and challenged by it because, you know, some of what I was reading maybe wasn't the most encouraging, as I was reading a list and, you know, every single thing ended with 12, blah, 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 12. Oh, but then I got to this and I was like, oh, Lord, thank you so much for just encouraging me and reminding me that I need to live in awe of God, and I need to live remembering that my life isn't my own. So anyway, I wanted to share that because I did. So there you go. Mary shared a little bit. I was born in Mississippi, and my parents were in the training to go overseas at that time. And they moved to Thailand when I was 3. So I have no recollection of America before then. My earliest recollections, I was speaking Thai. I don't remember learning Thai. I just spoke Thai. My parents put me into a Thai school. And I have one older brother, so he and I both went to kindergarten. And I don't remember ever not speaking Thai, so that's a really cool blessing. But at a really young age, I realized that I was a sinner. I was somebody who really liked doing good, like I liked being the good person. And so I was probably 4 or 5, and I would try to be good all the time because, you know, that made your parents happy, that made everybody happy with you. But I realized I couldn't be good all of the time. As much as my little heart tried, there was no way for me to always be good. And that brought me to God, because I knew that God was holy, and I knew that as much as I tried, I couldn't be. And so I recognized that God was my Savior, that Jesus Christ died for me. And sure, as a little kid, maybe you don't understand all the ins and outs of God's marvelous salvation that he's given to us, but I really do think that by God's grace, I understood that I wasn't able to be good enough for God, and that Jesus Christ was the way that if I believed in him, I could have salvation in God. So as I grew up, my family moved from the city where my parents were living and learning Thai to a small school campus where my dad became a teacher. He teaches at a Bible school for Thai and tribal people, and it's a one-year program, and churches will send individuals to the school to gain a better understanding of the Bible, to become church leaders, or maybe Sunday school teachers, or different things like that. And so that's the campus I grew up on. It was a small school, so we would have anywhere from 8 students to 30 students, and they would be there on and off throughout the year. And I grew up there, and as I grew, I read my Bible, and at one point, I must have been in 4th or 5th grade, and I ran into the passage, one of the passages that talks about baptism, and I finished reading it, and I went and talked to my dad. I was like, Dad, why am I not baptized? And he's like, well, let's sit down and talk about baptism. And so we sat down and talked about baptism. I was like, well, obviously baptism has nothing to do with salvation, because it doesn't say you're baptized and then you get to go to heaven. But then as we talked, it was like, no, I want to get baptized so that I can be a witness to my Thai friends, that they know I really believe what I believe. It's, I want to be associated with Christ. And so after that, I got baptized, and just, I continued to grow and learn different things. I really didn't like school as a young child, and even as a teenager all the way through. One of the things about learning Thai and English simultaneously, I went to Thai school and learned, I already spoke English when we went, but I didn't read and write English or Thai, and so I combined and mixed all of the rules up, and I would mix Thai spelling rules with English spelling rules, and let me tell you, they don't really mix very well. So as I was being homeschooled, as I was older, my parents pulled me out of Thai school because I really couldn't read and write English at my grade level. So at 3rd grade, they pulled me out to be homeschooled full-time, and even before then, but starting at 3rd grade especially, I just struggled so hard with English because it was really, really difficult for me. Like, I could do the work, but it was hard. And God used that to draw me to him, because every day almost I would break down saying, Mom, I can't do this, and I would have a nasty attitude. And God just made me aware of how nasty that attitude was and how I needed to pull to him to find the right attitude, because it wasn't in me. I could not, of my own goodwill, make myself look at that homework assignment and say, okay, I can be calm and do this and it's going to be okay. No, I freaked out every single day. And I don't know where I was reading or who challenged me or what, but I was just challenged to pray every morning. Pray, Lord, please help me to bring glory to you with my attitude, even about school. And that was something revolutionary to me at whatever age that was. I'm not really sure. But the Lord was really faithful with that, and he really did grow me in him, because I did turn my attitude over to him. And when I did, you know, my attitude was able to, instead of freaking out at English, yeah, it still took me an hour, 2 hours, maybe three, to do what shouldn't have taken that long. But he gave me the grace to not respond in a nasty way. Anyway, I'm going to fast forward a lot. If you want to ask me about growing up in Thailand, you can. One of the hard things is, though, is I grew up there, so it's home. So if you ask me, what was it like? Well, I lived life like any little kid, and I ran around and had fun and played outside and, you know, all the random things. Maybe I played in a rice field instead of a cornfield, but, you know, maybe I was searching for crabs instead of crawdads. Maybe I was climbing trees with red ants and, you know, different things. But you're welcome to ask me about that later if you want to. But I'm going to fast forward to, actually it's backwards though, to when I was just graduating from high school. Growing up, I didn't know what I wanted to be. People would ask, and I'd be like, I don't know, I want to be a kid forever. Is that a possibility? And of course, that's not an option. So if I was forced to say what I was going to be, I was like, oh, I'll be a missionary, not thinking that's actually what I'm going to be. But in my junior year in high school, I discovered or realized I really loved cooking. So that became my plan. I was like, oh, I'm probably going to do culinary. So I graduated from high school, and the Lord led me to Oklahoma. I was planning to either go to Missouri and go to College of the Ozarks, which has a great culinary program, or go up to Jackson, Michigan, and go to a Bible school. And the Bible school up there was a place that a lot of missionary kids will go, who are associated with New Tribes Mission, which is the organization I grew up with. They'll go to that Bible school kind of as a transitionary period, and just to learn the Bible. So I was like, okay, I'll either go to culinary school, which is great, or I'll go to Bible school with my best friend from Thailand, because we're both graduating at the same time. Either way, you know, win-win. Plan A is God's plan, or plan B is God's plan. You know, there's only two. And then, lo and behold, you know, God kind of said, well, actually, I have plan C for you, and it's my plan A. And so I ended up in Oklahoma, and man, that first year was hard, because I was like, whoa, Lord, what are you doing with me here? But I went to college for a year. I ended up going to the same college that my brother was at, and that was super great for me, because if I didn't understand something that was happening, I could text my brother. We were in the same dorm. He was in the guy's half, and I was in the girl's half. I'd text him and be like, hey, can we meet in the hallway? What does this mean? This person just said that, or, you know, because I grew up in a different culture than all of the other kids in the college. And so when they would say something, there's a lot of terms that I actually don't understand. A lot of things, like if it's conversational, I can usually figure out what it is. But when I first got here, man, it was pretty rough. There were a lot of things that I was like, I have no idea what you just said, but I'm not going to ask because that's going to stop the whole train of conversation. So I'll ask Riley, my older brother, later. Anyway, that was really helpful for me to transition to the States. And then that college didn't have anything that I wanted to study. So I transferred to a technical school. At the technical school, I did culinary arts and graduated with a culinary arts certificate, and then I worked in the industry for a year, and I absolutely loved it. When I came back to America, I started working in food service because I love cooking, and I, for the most part, loved everything about my different jobs that I had. Some of them were more stressful than others, and, you know, sometimes when the tickets come in, you're like, oh, 11 tickets down, oh no, what's gonna happen? But it's good, it's fun. And so I really enjoyed the life that I had doing culinary. And so I don't want you guys to misunderstand that, oh, I moved to America, I had a hard time, and so I decided to change my path and go be a missionary. That wasn't it at all. It was like, oh no, I'm enjoying it, and by that third year, I was actually feeling like I was finally putting down just a few roots. Like I had friends that I would hang out with, not just when I was working with them, not just when I was playing volleyball at the YMCA with them, but we would, you know, go out and have a meal together just for fun, just because we're friends. And I was like, yes, I'm finally making roots. This is great. And then at the same time, God was working in my heart and my mind, and he was saying, remember that Bible school you wanted to go to 3 years ago? I want you to go back. I want you to go to Bible school now. And there were lots of different things that led up to that point. But There was something in the workforce that I was like, Lord, I don't think this is what you want me to be doing for the rest of my life. I don't know why, but I just don't think that's what you want me to do. And so I decided in my heart and with the Lord, okay, I think the Lord wants me to go to Bible school, and I'm going to go to a 2-year Bible school, and no matter what, I think I want to do missions, I'm not sure, but no matter what, I'm not going to regret spending 2 years studying God's Word. There's no way I'm going to turn around and be like, man, I wasted 2 years of my life studying God's Word and getting to know Him better, and I wasted the money. I'm not going to turn around and do that. And I kind of earlier kind of felt that way about that first year in college. I was like, this was a waste of money and time. Now, you know, God has shown me how that was redeemed, but at that time I was like, oh, that was a waste of time and money, but I'm not going to have that same regret for Bible school. So I went up to the Bible school. There were two different Bible schools that New Tribes had. One was in Jackson, Michigan, and one was in Waukesha, Wisconsin. I ended up going to the one in Wisconsin, and I was so thankful that that's where the Lord led me. I moved there my fourth year that I was in the States. Also, what time am I supposed to be done? Oh, okay. So I went up to the school in Wisconsin, and I was suddenly surrounded by a bunch of people my same age, which sadly, there's not a whole lot of people my same age who are really excited about God that you just find in Oklahoma City. It's kind of hard to find. So suddenly I was surrounded by a ton of people my same age or a little bit, some of them were a little bit younger, some were a little bit older, but we were just excited about who God was, and we were excited about getting to know Him. And I was thrilled to death because it was like, the school's a small one, so it's not like a bunch of different tracks. There's one track. So your whole class studies the same thing. So after class, you run into anyone in your class, and you can be like, hey, remember what teacher Dave said? Let's talk about that. And there's no need for context. We're just like pushing each other to grow more in what we're learning in God's Word and just encouraging each other to grow. And it's kind of like maybe if you think about a summer camp where you're excited for a week and you're just surrounded by a bunch of people who are excited for that week and it just pushes you and pushes you. Well, this was 2 years, and maybe not kind of to the same extent that Bible school is over like a summer weekend or whatever, but it was a lot of excitement just to push each other to grow and keep growing and keep growing. So I was really thankful that God took me there. And just the way that He chose to grow me and help me understand things like this morning we were talking about, what was the word, justification. And so Mary and I were driving up and we were talking about how God was growing me and I was learning these things as an older Bible school student. And then you brought it up this morning, so I just thought that was really cool how, you know, I learned, you know, God has justified me and He's currently sanctifying me and I will be glorified and, you know, more of what that meant and how God sees me not as a sinner, but He sees me as a saint because of what Christ has done. And so all of these things were things that were just being growing in me so I would understand, you know, God's love for us and just how He's, His love for the world, His love for me, His desire for me to just bring glory to Him. Like, that's my purpose, is to glorify God. And so Bible school was a missions focus. It wasn't a missions Bible school, but it was a missions-focused Bible school. And by the end of the first semester, I was like, okay, this is where God is leading me. He wants me to go into missions. And when I thought that, I was thinking, oh, well, I have culinary, so I'll probably go into support missions. Do you guys know what support missions is? Or should I give a quick, like, sort of overview of support missions? I'll go with a quick overview of what support missions is. Okay, so you guys have all heard of aviation missions, right? And I know you guys support a family that does aviation. Funny story, I know two of their daughters because they went to the same Bible school. But anyway, this is where having two free hands would be a good idea. I thought that I would be going into support missions, and support missions stretches through a huge, broad spectrum of things. I was thinking guest house, because in some areas where you live, I'm going to give you this. Can you be our guest house manager? And I'm just going to pass these out. I'm going to read what they say so you guys don't have to hold them up or, you know, turn them around or whatever. But, like, one thing that a support missionary would do would be to be a guest house manager, and that would mean So some countries don't have hotels that are good for people to go and stay in. So if you live in a small village and then you come into the city to do paperwork or whatever, you go to a guest house and then the guest house manager makes sure there's a clean bed for you and cooks for you. I was like, oh great, maybe I'll be a guest house manager because I love cooking. And I really do love hosting people and cooking for people. It's one of the joys that God has given me. So I was like, leaving the story for a minute, but I was thinking, oh, I'll probably do support missions, because a lot of people go into missions either wanting to work in a tribe or what other mission is there, right? So I was like, well, they need other people to do support missions, so maybe I'll do support missions. There's also national trainer, and my dad, he's a national trainer. He's working with a local church so that they can grow and be more mature and have more people who are in the church who know the Lord better. And then you might have a public relations person. This would be a person who knows the government officials that you need to know in order to get the paperwork to be in the country that you're in. And also a government rep. So it's kind of different than here in America where you know what paperwork you need to have and you take it in and you pass it off. There it's more like a lot of different countries are more relational. And so you don't just have to know what paperwork you need to do, but you need to actually know the person that you're giving the paperwork to. Because otherwise, yours is going to go in a stack of, oh, I don't know these people. But if you know the person, yours is going to go into a much shorter stack that says, oh, yeah, I know this person. We have coffee together. They bring me muffins sometimes. We hang out. And so you're actually going to get your visa stamped on time so you can stay in the country. There's also school teachers. So sometimes here, I'm going to pass it all the way over here. There's school teachers. Sometimes people will send their high schoolers into town so that they can get a better education or different things. Some parents don't feel like they can homeschool in the upper grades, so oftentimes they'll send teenagers to town to be a school teacher. There's an accountant here. Do you want to be an accountant? I'm not good at numbers at all, so that's one of those things that I'm not gonna want to do that as a support. You are? Oh, how awesome. And there's construction. Here, will you be our construction guy? Maybe there's different things that you think, oh, you know, that's not a big deal. But when you're in a different country, you might not know all of the resources that you have to work on your house. You might be like, oh, I'm going to go get some caulking. Well, it turns out you can't get that. What can you get to replace that? So this person's a guy in town who can buy those things and help you figure out, oh, wait, who likes flying? And yeah, there you go. You're gonna fly. So you're gonna be the guy who's the mechanic and also the pilot, and you're gonna take stuff out to the missionaries. And then there's administration. That's another one that needs to happen. There's service and office work, secretary and office work. So there's all of these different things. I'm just gonna start reading them off. There's a printer. So once you start translating the Bible, you're gonna need somebody to print it off so that your people can actually read it. There's a dorm parent. So if you send your high schoolers into town, who are you gonna send them with? Sorry, you guys are having to crane your neck. I feel bad about that. There's also IT and radio. With that whole airplane business, you have to have somebody who's gonna do the IT. I should have handed that to you. Sorry, messed that one up. And then there's a supply buyer. This was another one that as I was graduating, I was thinking, ooh, maybe I'll be a supply buyer. And a supply buyer is somebody who, the people who live in the village in a tribal area who get support from the airplane and all that, they'll send a list into the city and they'll say, hey, I need all of these supplies for the next 3 months. And so that'll be eggs and that'll be, you know, I need oil and I need gas and I need wiring and I need another electrical outlet that looks like this. So the supply buyer is going to go around the city and find all of those things and help the person in the tribe not have to come out and go search for all those things, but they're going to go and buy them all, pack them up, and give them to the pilot who will fly them out there. And that just saves time for the missionary who's out in the tribe. These are missionaries too. All of these orange things are missionaries. These are jobs that people are doing in the city to make sure that the people who are in the tribe are able to stay there and do the work that they're doing rather than, oh, I need eggs, so I'm going to have to fly out and go buy eggs and then fly back in and keep doing my job. Oh, hey, I need to figure out what paperwork I need to stay in the country with this year. So I'm going to have to fly out of my tribe, and I'm going to go find which government official, and I'm going to pray that I have favor in their sight so that they'll stamp my card, even though they don't know me. Oh, my kids, I need to go bring them in and take them out and all of these different things. But no, the orange people, the support missionaries are the ones who allow and help have the framework so that the missionaries who are out teaching the gospel in a different tribal area can stay out there. And like, this is the support network for rural areas. It would be bigger for some countries, smaller for other countries. Like Papua New Guinea or Indonesia, they have a pretty big support network because it's harder for people out in the rural areas to get supplies, and it's harder for people out in the rural areas to figure out the government work. In Thailand, it's actually a pretty small support base. We have a secretary, we have somebody who's doing finances, and we have somebody who's doing government rep. But that's about it for Thailand, because Thailand's not airplane access. So that cuts down on a lot of things. And there's hotels that are safe to stay in and clean to stay in and actually available at all, and different things like that. So it depends on what country, how much support network you need. Anyway, back to my story. Sorry for the interlude there. But I was thinking, I'll probably do support work, because not a whole lot of people think, I should do support work if I'm doing missions. I should go be in a tribal area. So I was like, okay, great. God's made me excited about cooking. I'll just be a support worker. This is going to be awesome. Anyway, I moved from the Bible school to the Missionary Training Center. All of the Bible schools, well, that Bible school was connected to New Tribes Missions Missionary Training Center. And the difference between the Bible school and the training center is the content of what you're studying. The Bible school is focused on Scripture. And so we studied our way all the way through God's Word, and we studied some of the different studies, like the study of angels and the study of God and the study of man and different things like that. But then when I went to the Missionary Training Center, classes kind of shifted, and they were more on the practical side of, you know, how do you go to another culture and learn their language and learn their culture and speak to them at a level where they're actually going to understand? What does a mature church look like in a different culture? Not just transplanting a church from America over to Thailand and saying, this is what a mature church looks like, but looking at God's word and saying, okay, what is cultural and what is biblical? And being able to not be flexible with what is right, but use this as the standard for what is right, rather than using my cultural background for what is right. And so we've had classes like that. We've had classes about worldview, which is the way that you think about the things that you think about. That's kind of twisted, but it's we're studying how people view things, and it's something that we don't think about. Like, I don't think about the way that I think about things. I just think about things. So here, you guys think that picking your nose is gross, right? No one's going to disagree with me and say, actually, I love picking my nose every Saturday. But in Thailand, they think picking your teeth is gross and picking your nose is fine. Why is that? That one's not the greatest example, because you guys could say, picking your nose is gross because that's dirty, or, you know, whatever. But there's some things that we think about that we don't actually know why we think that's true. We just do. And so we've studied that so that we're able to understand and communicate with people at a deeper level than just, I'm going to throw the word God at you. I'm not going to think about what your preconceived notions about God are. I'm just going to think that you know what God, the God I'm talking about, means. That doesn't work. You can't just go in and do that to some areas, because they may think of God as a spirit who's distant and who has nothing to do with their life. So I say, God loves you. So what? Who cares? God has nothing to do with my life. Great, God loves me, whatever. So lots of our classes at the Missionary Training Center had to do with that. And as I was in classes at the Missionary Training Center, God just really changed the way that I looked at missions. I was like, I'm so gung-ho about support. Well, I'm still gung-ho about support, but now I'm also gung-ho about maybe going into a tribal area. So now I'm like, great, I could do this or I could do this. Instead of narrowing my options, it's more like, the sky's the limit. And so I'm just going to, I have these for Ah. What's that? Oh, no, it's okay. So the missionary who lives in a tribal area, they might be doing these different things, and I'll just pass them and say medical. So if somebody comes to you and they've chopped themselves with a machete and suddenly there's a huge gash in their leg, you're the closest medical person. So suddenly you've become a doctor and you're going to bandage them up as best as you can. And you're also a teacher because you're teaching them God's word, right? So you've been preparing materials and you've been getting them ready to hear God's word. And you're also learning their language because not only did you go to a... Oh, you have an orange one? Sorry, here. Not only did you go to one country, but you went into a specific people group. So you're learning their language so you can communicate with them in their language and using their culture. And there's a cultural one in here. Oh, here it is. Here you go. And there's a literacy one because maybe they don't even have a written language. So maybe you're going to go in and help them write down a written language. No, that's not your thing. That's okay. That's probably not my thing. How about this one? I'll give you literacy and maintenance. There you go. That's more my thing, too. I'd rather work with my hands than figure out an alphabet. And so not only are you doing literacy, but you're also doing maintenance. Because guess what? You're the one who built your roof. You're also the one who has to make sure there's no leaks in your roof. Oh, the electricity went out. What does that mean? I better figure that out. Guess what? You're that person, but you can also call the person who's maintenance, who's an orange person, and say, hey, what resources do I have? How am I going to fix this? And they can be a resource for you to actually figure out what's wrong, which would be great for me because I'm not really sure. Guess I'll call somebody and figure it out. And internet, yeah, it is a resource, but when you're out in the tribe, sometimes the internet's so sketchy it's going to take 2 hours to load a 2-minute video. So, you know, sometimes it's better off, you're better off calling somebody who knows. And then there's linguistics, and there's also translation. And these are all different hats that people who live in the tribe will be wearing. Because you're not just going to... I passed each one, like, one paper to each person, but chances are you're actually going to be holding 4 or 5 or 6. And some of the people who are holding yellow may also be holding an orange tag as well, and they'll be on the leadership team who helps guide the whole country in what they're doing. Or they may be, you know, the government rep, but they also work in a tribal area. So those are just different things. So my brain was broadened, and I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to do orange? Do you want me to do yellow? Should I be doing support? Should I be working in a tribe? And that's kind of where I am now. I'm not really sure what God is going to have for me. But just like you guys, I'm trusting God with the next step of my life. And right now, I believe that next step is taking me to Thailand. I speak Thai. I already know a bit of Thai culture. And so since I'm thinking, oh, I might go into a tribal area, Thailand actually does make a lot of sense because I'm not going to have to learn very much of the national language before I can go learn a tribal language. I already speak at a teenager's level, which you're like, well, that's the same as an adult level. Kind of the way that you sentence structure, wow, that was really good. The way that you form your sentence structure is different, and so I speak Thai slang is pretty much what I speak. So when I go to Thailand, I won't have to learn my ABCs, but I will have to learn, oh, how can I speak and be a credible person with adults, because that's what I am now, and not just have people go, well, you look like an adult and you have a good message, but why are you just, you know, using slang? Isn't it important to you? So that's something that I will learn when I go to Thailand. And then while I'm learning that and while I'm brushing up on the culture, because I have been in America for the last 7 years, so while I'm brushing up on the culture and figuring out, okay, how does it work for me to be a single woman in Thailand rather than a little girl with a family? So those are things that I'll be learning, and while I'm learning that, I'll be talking to the leadership in Thailand, the leadership of the organization there, and saying, what are some things that I can do? And we'll be looking at my gifts and saying, okay, Lord, where should she go? Should she be orange or should she be yellow or what is it? And if you guys want to ask about what those would be, that's great. Chances are I would go and work in a tribal area, but I could possibly go to Laos. If I do, you know, that's not a great thing to put on the microphone, just because it's a more closed country. But Thai and Laos are responsibility, would be working with the government and helping in the whole paperwork process of getting visas for missionaries every year, because it's pretty complicated because the paperwork is constantly changing. And that's all I will say about that, because you could go on for hours and still not explain it well. But anyway, I think that's all that I have to share with you guys this morning. Do you guys have any questions? I'll be here for lunch, and I'm so thankful that I got to be with you all this morning. It was so great worshiping with you and just hearing the whole room fill with the sound of praise for our God, because he's worthy, and it's so exciting. So thanks.
We're going to close, and we're just going to, why don't you all come on up? We're going to lay hands on Jane and ask God's blessing on her. We'll thank him for the meal, too, at this time. If you can't lay hands on Jane, just lay hands on somebody who has a hand on Jane. That'll work, too. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life of Jane. It's obvious, Lord, your hand is upon her and you're guiding and leading her. She doesn't know the end story yet, but you do. We pray that you would continue to guide and lead Jane, to know her, to help her, to know what you would have her do. I know that you will do that, Lord. Thank you that she continues to take the steps that you make known to her. Thank you for her faithfulness. We pray that you would protect her, guide her, and continue to lead her, Lord, in whatever aspect of the mission field that you would have her do, that she would bring honor and glory to you. We pray, Lord, that we could be a part of her support here at New Beginnings, both financial and prayer, and that we could cover her in these ways, Lord, to help be an extension of the work you want to do there in Thailand or Laos or wherever you may have her go. So we just pray now your blessings and protection over her and her family. And we just look forward to hearing the things you're going to do in and through her in the days to come. We pray now, Lord, as we would break and set up tables for lunch, that you would bless our time of fellowship around the tables. We thank you for each person that has brought food. And we just pray a blessing on that time together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.